Welcome to Alive Experience, the online teaching ministry of Pastor Pascal Ngwe. Pastor Pascal is the senior pastor of Alive Bible Church, a vibrant and growing church with branches across South Africa. Pastor Pascal teaches the Word of God with accuracy and power, always leaving his audience empowered, challenged, and ready for change. As you listen, get ready to be blessed by the Holy Spirit. Now, let's join the message already in progress.
Well, yesterday we started the journey, Via Dolorosa. And I believe that God ministered, you know, it was such a powerful ministration yesterday. Via Dolorosa is the road of suffering. Via Dolorosa is the path Jesus took when he was going to be crucified. In the old city of Jerusalem, the road Jesus walked on, carrying his cross, people shouting left, right, and center, and the Roman soldiers flogging him, and his blood being spitting on the road. That particular journey, that little path that he took through those, you know, squatch buildings, is called Via Dolorosa. And yesterday we saw that just like Jesus, each one of us have their own Via Dolorosa. If you're going to follow Jesus, you're going to have to go through some Via Dolorosa. But yesterday we also learned that your journey does not end with Via Dolorosa. The same way the journey of Jesus did not end on the cross. Hallelujah. And I know tonight is Black Saturday. And his body is in the tomb. What does that represent? I want to talk tonight. I don't want to go back to yesterday. I want to give you an opportunity to go and listen to that message. And I believe that is going to be a blessing to you. Praise the name of Jesus. Tonight, I want to talk about something else connected to what we are dealing with tonight. The title of my message is, His Death Gave Us Life. His death gave us life. Now I'm reading from Matthew 27, verse 57 to verse 60. The Bible says, Now when evening had come, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who himself had also become a disciple of Jesus. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be given to him. When Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his new tomb, which he had hewn out of a rock. And he rolled a large stone against the door of the tomb, and he departed. Praise God. This is how the Savior of the world's journey seemingly came to an end. The same way our journeys come to an end from time to time. His body was wrapped in a linen cloth. Jesus, who used to walk the cities, preach, teach, do all kinds of things, heal, help people. Now, his body needed to be carried. His body needed to be cleaned and to be wrapped. And then they placed it in the tomb because that is where men go when they are dead. And the Bible says, and he rolled the tomb, the door of the tomb, the stone, the large stone against the door of the tomb. So he closed the door. In our day, we throw soil and we put stones, not one, many on top. Once you see that, you know, a journey has ended. But I came to tell you, his death gave us life. His death was not the end. Yesterday, I tried to answer the question, why did Jesus have to suffer so much? And tonight, I'm answering the question, why did Jesus have to die? Why did he die? I think I also even answered that yesterday. Well, I'm just going to tell you a few things again tonight, and we're going to pray. As I observe the life of the Lord, I realize that Jesus accomplished more by dying than he did when he was alive. I want you to think about it. I'm sure you're aware of the fact that he died at age 33 and a half. So he was a young person. He was at the prime of his life. He still had many more years ahead of him. The 3 years he was in ministry, he accomplished more in those 3 years than all the old prophets, all this, everybody put together. In 3 years, he accomplished more than all of them. And if I were Jesus, I would want to continue doing more of such things. I mean, by the time Jesus is dying, he is at the prime and he is at the heap of his ministry. People are following him in the desert. People are running for days just to go to and reach a place before he reaches that place. His name has become popular. In other words, he's at the topest top you can reach in that little cities, in those little cities where he's doing his ministry. This is not the time to die. I hope you understand. This is the time to live long. This is the time to go to the gym and to make sure you are fit for more years. This is the time to eat healthy. This is the time to have bodyguards to protect you because you have become a public figure. So when Jesus suggested to his disciples that he's going to die, I mean, Peter said, no, it can't happen. It can't happen. We are enjoying a lot of things because you are alive. It can't happen. Why will you die? I mean, I will understand somebody who dies because nothing is working. I mean, we know those people. He's dying because the girlfriend dumped him. She's dying because the boyfriend dumped her. He's dying because he lost the job. He lost the wife. He lost the kids. God forbid, those things will never happen to you. And you will never die under such circumstances. And I'm going to minister quickly to somebody whom Satan has been telling, go and commit suicide. Listen to me, suicide is never an answer. It's never an answer. You just fast-tracked your judgment. When you are still alive, you can change things. But the moment you die, your judgment is sealed. So don't get involved into such things. Praise God. So I was saying to you, Jesus is at the topest level of success. And he told his disciples, no one takes my life away from me. I'm giving it myself. So we realize that Jesus chose to die. Because so many times they tried to kill him, they couldn't kill him. They tried to push him off a cliff. He just passed among them. And they asked, where is he? What has happened? What has just happened? They tried to accuse him. I don't think all the people that came with stones to stone the woman that was caught in adultery, I don't think all those stones were for that woman. I think some of the stones were also for Jesus himself. That's why he was left with the woman, only the two of them. Some were intending that it would look, I would make it look like I'm trying to stone the woman and I'll send it to him because mercy on us. So there were so many how you call this, attempt. You know, when you try to kill a person. Yeah, murder attempts. Attempted murder. They tried to kill him in so many ways. They never succeeded. Let me tell you something. Until your time comes, nobody can kill you. That you must know that one very, very well. And where, as long as you are doing what God sent you to do on earth, nobody has the capacity to take you out of earth. That's why the safest place for you to be is to be in the will of God. When you are in the will of God, you are untouchable. Especially when you are following the directives of the Holy Spirit. Because there are some people that are in the will of God, but then they have begun disobeying the Holy Spirit. Don't only be in the will of God. Be in the will of God, but obey the instructions of the Holy Spirit. Are you listening to me? It's very important. I know many pastors that have died when they were not supposed to die. Not everybody that died was supposed to die. Yeah. Jesus couldn't be killed. He had to hand himself over. But why did he do it? Simple. And that is my little talk tonight. Because Jesus figured out he will accomplish more by dying than by staying alive. And I want you to think about it. Do you know that you are not born again today because of a miracle Jesus performed when he was alive? Do you know that you are not the way you are today because Jesus walked on water? And you must understand, walking on water was, if Jesus was doing it, was to do it today, he will get like maybe 100 million likes or 100 million views. Do you understand? On YouTube and all this. I mean, like, that would be like, wow, dude, you rock the boat. I mean, that would be like, serious, Jesus. I mean, this guy is cool. Are you listening to me? The Lord did those things. He didn't even want people to know. He would do them in the night. We are only hearing about them today because people wrote it. And that's why John says there are so many other things he did that if they were to be written, even the whole world could not contain the books. And I believe it because I don't believe that all that is written is all he did. That is what God wanted us to know. Our Lord did far more than that. He did a lot of miracles. They are not all recorded there. Many things. But none of those miracles could get you born again. None of those miracles could wash away your sins. Jesus preached powerful messages. Hey, the Sermon on the Mount. Do unto others as you would like them do unto you. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be given unto you. Those are the words of Jesus. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting. Those are the words of Jesus. I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That's Jesus teaching. That's Jesus preaching. And those words have even shaped our lives. That's very true. But let me tell you something. If Jesus has spoken all those nice words and has given us all those powerful sermons, and then he refused to die, I get it, he's God. They tried to push him off a cliff, he just passed. They could have taken him to that cross, tried to pull the nail is just going the other way. I'm telling you, he created the nail. Anything that happened to the Lord happened because he wanted it to happen. And the only reason he wanted it to happen was because he understood that until I do this particular thing, the purpose why I came will never mean anything. I can preach all I want to preach. I can sing all I want to sing. I can walk on water from ocean Atlantic to ocean Oceania. I can do all these things. But if I don't die for these people, it will still mean nothing. Please understand that there are many powerful teachers that came before Jesus. Confucius. You know, and after Jesus, Socrates, there are guys who could talk. Shakespeare. These are guys that even today, people are close
used to worshiping those people too, because of the wisdom that they operated with. I mean, there's a whole group following a person called Muhammad based on the things he said. What makes the difference between Jesus and these guys and these guys and these guys? Oh, there's only one major thing. You see, many of them performed the miracle Jesus performed. Do you know that apart from the miracle of Lazarus, there is no other miracle the Lord performed that was not already in the Bible? Anything he did, okay, he walked on water, Moses parted the water. Do you understand? And he walked on dry land, an entire sea. Moses fed people with manna. He fed 5,000, gave them bread, gave them... You see, it's just because maybe you are not aware, but many of the miracles that the Lord did were already in the Bible, but just in different shapes and forms. He raised people from the dead. Elijah raised people from the dead. Elijah raised people from the dead. But there is one thing that he did that nobody did before him and nobody could do after him. He died for people. People died for Chaka Zulu. People died for Muhammad. People died for every other god you know. They asked you to die for them. The gods of this world, they require sacrifices from you. The God of heaven became a sacrifice for you. Oh, even your little god in the village will be asking for a chicken. They are all asking for something. They want a sacrifice. They will come and sacrifice. Then they ask for your fingers. They are all asking for something. The only God I know, instead of asking you for anything, he says, I'm going to give everything to you. And he came and gave his life. He gave his life. He says, no one takes it from me. I give it of my own will. They tried to take it, they couldn't. I gave it of my own will. I mean, have you ever seen somebody die the way he wants? When he is on the cross, he says, nah. First of all, he says, I'm thirsty. Then they bring him a drink. He tastes it. He doesn't like it. They say, no, I don't want it. You are on the cross. You are still choosing what you like and what you don't like. And the Lord is on the cross. Then he is busy reconciling people down there. He said to John, look, you see that mother, that lady? I mean, you are on the cross, you are struggling, and you are still having the capacity to be fixing things in people's lives. He is on the cross, and people are busy trying to share his clothes. He looks at them, and he says, Father, forgive these guys. They don't know what they are doing. I mean, I'm not saying that he was having tea with them and trying to, I say, you know, when I assess you, I can see that you don't know what you're talking about. No, he's on the cross going through excruciating pains, but he's busy fixing relationships. Mother, that is your son. Son, that is your mother. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they are doing. I want a drink. No, I don't like this type of drink. Then while he's on that cross, he says, it is finished. In other words, I was doing something. And the thing I was doing is ending right here. This is how it is ending. According to what is written, to the specification. And then he blows all of us away. He says, Father, into your hands, I commit my spirit. Jesus was not killed. He died. He He says, into your hands, I'm making the decision now. I'm committing my spirit into your hands. And then he gave the ghost. The man on his right and the man on his left were still alive. As a matter of fact, for them to die, they needed to come and break their legs. Because everybody that is on the cross is trying to stay alive as much as they can. To see life, to see things for the last time. But Jesus was done. He said, it is finished. So there's no purpose in me staying here. Let's go and do some other business on the other side. Father, into your hands, I'm committing my spirit. And he was out of there. Jesus accomplished more on that cross in those few hours than he had accomplished in his entire life. That cross where he was, where he committed his spirit, he accomplished more. In fact, you exist because of that cross. We all exist. This church, if you've seen the sign, the logo of this church is in the shape of a cross and in the shape of a pulse at the same time. We are referring back to that cross where we got the life we have today. Everything about us, everything about... So the day you take the cross of Jesus away, do you understand? For any reason, that is the day you start going down. Because your life started when his ended. The greatest defeat Jesus ever gave to the kingdom of darkness, to Satan, he didn't give this Satan that defeat when he was walking on the ground. In fact, when he was walking on the ground, Satan would come from time to time and talk to him, you know, this and this and that. If you are the Son of God, do this, this. I mean, he was still moving around. But when he arrived on that cross, this was the grand finale. Paul the Apostle captures that particular fight. He says, as Jesus was there, I think when he said, it is finished, I'm perceiving he meant I've crushed him. I've broken the yoke he had over the people. Because he wouldn't die just like that. That's why when he went to the kingdom of darkness now, where Satan was holding the keys, he just said, give. You know yourself, it's done. Bring the keys. It's over. Colossians chapter 2, verse 13 to 15, the Bible says, and you, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcisions of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven all your trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against you. See, there was a handwriting, there was an accusation against you. You didn't know. You see, you're just moving around, not knowing that you have been accused and you have been found guilty, and the verdict is death and eternity in hell. As you are moving around every day, you are not aware that there is a verdict against you. The Bible says the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way. That whole accusation that was against you, Jesus has taken it out of the way. And the Bible says, how did he do it? He said, having nailed it to the cross. You are not aware, but the accuser of the brethren had already accused you to God, and it was decided the day you die, his agents will come and carry you to where you belong. As people go up about their lives every day, they are not aware that there is actually a decree on them. This one, hell. This one, hell. Just like I went to a hospital one day, you know, and I look at the book, the register, names all over. And I check on the other side. And I just saw dead. With the red pen. Dead. This one, ICU. This one, dead. Hey, just like that. I mean, it's nothing. It's like it's nothing. Yet that one word, dead, it has changed the life of another family somewhere. That thing that just writing here, dead. Another place, that same word you see there, it is causing people to scream. People have been booked out of work. They are staying at home. People, it has changed people's lives. That word that you are seeing in the book, it looks like it's nothing here. Go and see where this person, the person in mention, go and see where that person is coming from, and go and see the commotion that word is causing there. So as you are moving around, the word on your head could be hell. And you are not thinking it's serious. Because in their registers, the name is there. I mean, if there is a book of life, there must be a book of death or a book of the dead. I mean, there must be. And in that book, if your name is in that book, it means you are destined to hell. And people are moving around their lives, and when the demons are checking, say, oh, now this one is here. And it looks like it's nothing. But go and see what happens when that becomes a reality. And unknown to you and me, that was our reality. That is what was supposed to happen to us. The Bible says the handwriting was against us. So somebody wrote something. And I presume and I'm perceiving it was your name. In a book, that was not a good book. The Bible says Jesus took it out of the way. He came and he didn't use the eraser that you are buying on the shop. He touched a bit of his hand, took a bit of blood from his hand, and let one drop fall on that name. And the name disappeared from the book of the dead. And the name appeared in the book of the living. All the things I'm talking about, I'm just perceiving that this is what must have happened for your name to be written in the book of life. Why do you think your name is written in the book of life? Because Jesus fed 5,000 people? Huh? Do you think your name is written in the book of life because Jesus healed the blind man called Bartimaeus? No, your name is in the book of life because Jesus Christ went on the cross and gave his life for you. That is why your name is in the book of life. If Jesus did not go on that cross, you will not be in the book of life. His death gave us life. His death gave you life. It's because he died that you are alive. That's why. That's why. And he didn't stop there. He didn't only move your name or remove that accusation that was on your head, that condemnation that was above your head. He did something else. The Bible says, having disarmed principalities and powers. And I'm sure these two words, you are familiar with them, because the Bible says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers. But this verse says that on the cross, Jesus disarmed principalities and powers. So you are wrestling against disarmed entities. They are disarmed. They are disarmed. They are just making a big noise. But when you understand what Jesus did on the cross, based on this verse, Jesus says that he disarmed them. So prior to the cross, they were having weapons. They were having weapons and they could harm you. That's why he says nothing shall by all means hurt you. If you understand what I did on the cross, he disarmed sickness. He disarmed disease. He disarmed poverty. He disarmed lack. He disarmed bad luck. He disarmed curses. So you shouldn't sit there and let this thing continue molesting you. Something Jesus has disarmed on the cross. If you believe that the cross gave you life, if you believe that through the cross you are born again, then you must believe that through the cross, principalities and powers were disarmed. You must believe the same way, because you cannot believe that through the cross you became born again. But even though the cross happened, principalities and powers are still in charge. Because it's the same cross. The same cross where the handwriting against you was wiped out. It is the same cross where he says he disarmed principalities. He disarmed powers. Every night people come and mess you up. Yet the Bible says they have been disarmed. There are situations in your life that don't want to go away. Yet the Bible says they have been disarmed. If you believe you are born again because Jesus went on the cross, then believe that the same Jesus who went on the cross disarmed the principalities. He disarmed the powers. Therefore, you have authority over them. And you must exercise that authority over them. The Bible says again that he made a public spectacle of them. Let me tell you something. Back in those days, when kings go to war, and they defeat their opponent, they will cut their head off. And they will enter the city victoriously, holding the head of their opponent like this. That was called, remember they didn't have a big screen HD and all those things. So they needed to show you. They needed to prove to you that no, it's done. Here's the head. Triumphing over them in it, meaning in the cross. Jesus triumphed. He defeated Satan on the cross. You see, the very thing that looked like he was losing is the very thing that was used to defeat Satan. Never joke with the cross. Never take the cross as something just to put on your neck as a necklace. And listen to me, the cross is your instrument of victory. It is the cross that brought your adversary to the ground. The cross. The cross. Hallelujah. And I'm going to end quickly by telling you something very simple. Much will always be accomplished when you do what Jesus did. When you sacrifice. He was telling the disciples, most assuredly I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. Are you listening? But if it dies, it produces much grain. Unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains alone. And that's why Jesus went on the cross, because he understood that I will not get far if I stay alive. I need to die. Something has to die so that more can be produced. Something has to die in me so that more results can come out. Look, you are all right, just the way you are. But more can be produced from your life if you choose to sacrifice a bit more. There are three levels of impact you can have. Number one, the first level, you are blessed. We find that in Genesis chapter 12, verse 2. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. Do you understand? When God starts working in your life, the first dimension is you are blessed. Do you get it? But that is not all that can happen with your life. That is just where you are. If you press a little bit more, you will move from being blessed to the second dimension. In other words, you become a blessing. That's another level. When you are blessed, you are the only one who can enjoy it. When you are a blessing, other people can start enjoying because of you. I hope you understand that. So he says to him in Genesis 12, chapter verse 2, I will make your name great and you will be a blessing. So the first level is, I will bless you. The second level is, you will be a blessing. All my life until yesterday, I was thinking that is where it ends. But God woke me up and he said to me, do you know that is not the last dimension? You've been telling people that you can be blessed and you can be a blessing. But that is not all. There is a third level. And when the Lord showed me this, I was very amazed because I haven't read it anywhere. Maybe I'm going to read it one day in somebody's book, or you will read it in my book. But I've never read it anywhere. The third dimension is others are being blessed through you. That is Genesis 12, verse 3. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Do you see the third dimension? You are not just a blessing anymore. In other words, other people have become blessed because of you. In other words, they are having what you were having in the beginning of your journey. They are now experiencing your first experience. It's not just that when they need something, they come to you and you are a blessing to them. No, they have gravitated from that. They themselves have become blessed. They have entered the journey you started, but they have entered that journey through you. So the first dimension is, I am blessed. Second dimension, I am a blessing. Third dimension, others are blessed now because of me. Are you listening to what I'm talking about? So the more you press in through sacrifice, those three things I'm talking about is what happened to Abraham. And each one of them, I can pinpoint at things that he needed to sacrifice to experience that dimension. For him to be blessed, he needed to leave his father's house. He had to sacrifice all those relationships, all the people he knew. Then for him to become a blessing, one of the things he needed to do was that he needed to enter a covenant with God through circumcision. And then through him, other people were blessed because he needed to now have a child through him and through that child, Isaac. And that Isaac that he got, God asked him to give that Isaac again to him. Every single time. You see, God gave him this in Genesis 12, but the accomplishment of this required sacrifices every single time. It's one thing for you to have a job, to be blessed with a job. It's even a greater thing for you to have a job and now your family is seeing you as a blessing because you have a job and they can from time to time ask you for money. But it's a whole other thing when now everybody in the family has a job. Everybody. Now, nobody needs anybody anymore. Everybody has gravitated. Are you listening to what I'm talking about? Like, it's no more you trying to be, you know, you are the big boss. When you come, everybody is running around you. Everybody is playing nice around you because you are the one with the money. That's not God's best for us. God's best is you break into a dimension. And as you break into that dimension, listen, Jesus broke into a dimension of salvation and he broke into it and he didn't break into it alone. He pressed into a higher sacrifice. Today, we are all there. The Bible says we are seated with him in the heavenly realms. He told us, I'm going to prepare you a place where I am, you will be also. Do you know that the desire of God is that wherever you are in life, all your family members should be in that same level if they're interested? Where you are, who is there? Jesus is in heaven. He's busy preparing rooms for you. You have broken through a certain dimension. Your disciples are miles away from that place. Your brothers in the families are miles away from that place. You are just enjoying yourself that you are blessed. Or you are enjoying yourself that you have become a blessing. How about other people are now also blessed because of you? How about that one? Do you know that nothing much has happened if you are the only one blessed in the family? Because the day you are out of the picture, everybody is back to square one. Everybody is back to square one. I'm happy that you got a job, or God is going to bless you with a job. But do you know that you having a job is not solving the problem? Because as long as you are the only one with a job in this family, it means you have just become a little blessing. And how long can you cope being that little blessing? How many requests can you handle? How many? There is a higher dimension. And that dimension is other people rise to the level you were when you started. They are also now blessed. I pray that God will give you this understanding tonight. God will give you this understanding tonight, that you will press through a higher sacrifice. The Bible says, through the obedience of one man, many were made righteous. One man turned many people into righteousness. One man who did what God wanted, through that one man, many people were helped. One man called Abraham, through him, everybody can now say, Abraham's blessings are mine. In other words, I don't need to know Abraham personally. I enter a dimension where what is working for Abraham starts working for me. Don't you want your family members, don't you want the people in your church, don't you want the people you are helping to also rise to the level where you are? Why must you be the only one who has a word from God? Why? Let me tell you something about God. God likes it when you reach the third dimension. God likes it. Because that is what he's after. He's after reaching more people. I'm telling you. I want to read for you something that I found very profound, and we're going to close. Acts 16, verse 25 to 26, the Bible says, but at midnight, say with me, midnight. That was a breaking point. You know, midnight is like twilight. Between these states, that you are entering into a new season. Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. They were in prison. Many other people were also prisoners like them in the same prison. They were all prisoners. Are you listening to me? And they were just praising God. And I want you to believe that if God had just descended the same way he did for Peter, because the angel came and the shackles fell off the hands of Peter, and the angel took Peter. Do you understand? But the Bible says Peter was asleep when this happened. Praise God. So the angel took Peter alone out of that prison. Everybody else was in the prison. Only Peter managed to leave the prison. And I'm telling you again, the Bible says he was asleep. And he even thought he was dreaming when that happened to him. But Paul, at midnight, was praying. And he was singing. Do you see the contrast here? He was praying and he was singing when? At midnight. The Bible says, and the prisoners were listening to them. As Paul and Silas were busy singing and praying, all their prisoners could hear them singing and praying. And the Bible says, suddenly there was a great earthquake. Call it a breakthrough. Call it a move of God. Call it an answer to your prayer. I was praying and suddenly God visited me. I was in the dungeon and suddenly God came and rescued me. Hallelujah. That's what happened. That's what happened. So when that earthquake took place, I'm sure Paul and Silas knew this is it. We are out. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. We are. The Bible says, so the foundations of the prison were shaken. You see, there is a dimension where your foundations are shaken and you are made all right. But God is interested in the thing that is not only holding you, but it is holding everybody in your family. Listen to me carefully. That thing is not only affecting you. As you are praying, you must know it is affecting many other people in that family. Are you listening? So God did not shake the foundation of the cell where Paul and Silas were singing from. He went right at the bottom and shook the whole thing. I see God shaking the whole thing in that family. Like the whole thing has to shake. The Bible says that suddenly. Listen, some of these things are going to happen suddenly and immediately. Suddenly and immediately. I think Satan was in the groove that night. We have killed this guy. I mean, do you know how we tried? We tried and tried and tried and tried. Finally. They are enjoying. Suddenly, they hear pam padam padam. Is that, what's that? Pam padam padam. Ladies and gentlemen, I would like to announce to you the arrival of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. They say, what? This guy is dead. We killed him. He says, hasta la vista, baby. I'm back. And he boxed him. Mike Tyson, Floyd Mayweather. Satan KO dead. Suddenly, immediately, the Bible says all the doors were opened. Wow. I'm praying in my little cell, and I'm singing in my little cell. My little singing and my little praying in my little cell. All the doors, the door of my sister, the door of my brother, the door of my nephew, the door of my uncle, the door of my granny, the door, all the doors. Not only your door. You see, when it is only your door, you are still in Via Dolorosa. You are still trying to just get something for yourself. But when you enter the tomb, you have entered multidimensional blessings. Unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, listen to me, it will only be you enjoying. It will be that little grain having fun. But when you go through the process of sacrifice, I'm telling you, you'll never come alone. Much fruit. All the doors were open and everyone's chains were loosed. The Bible is saying it. Everyone's chain. You know, I'm trusting God that we're going to hit a dimension in this ministry where everyone's chain, everyone, not some people, including those that were not praying. They were just listening. They were not praying. They were not doing anything. They were just listening to, they were probably criticizing them that we are trying to sleep. You guys are wasting our time. But in the midst of their criticism, they saw their chains fall and they saw their door open. I came to tell somebody, if you could just press a little bit through your prayer, if you could just press a little bit in the midnight hour, not those small prayers you are doing, you know, praying at midnight is a heavy sacrifice. It's not a small thing to be praying at midnight. Many people are afraid of the dark to start with. Many people are tired at this time. But this is a time of breakthrough. But it requires a sacrifice. A sacrifice. I was telling you yesterday, the Christians of the 21st century, they don't like Via Dolorosa. They like painkillers. Anything that takes away the pain. And they like things like, you know, what do you call this thing people take to sleep? Sleeping pills. They like sleeping pills. Muruti, I need to rest. Wabo, I need to relax. They take relaxation pills to enjoy. How different we are from Paul and Silas. How different our generation is from Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is at the prime of his ministry. He can call the shots and he chooses to go on the cross and die. Paul and Silas could have every reason to complain here. They are being accused for something they didn't do. They are in prison for wrong reasons. This is the good time for them to say, Lord, I have been serving you all my life, and this is what I'm getting as a reward for it. You are putting me in prison. What if the only reason why you were in that prison is so that every other person's doors, every other person's chains? Do you know that there are certain things you are going through? It's the only reason you are going through is because God wants you to know what the people going through these things are going through. God wants you to experience what they are experiencing, so that when you pray for them, you will pray with understanding. God wants you to know what it is like to not have a job, to not have a car, to not have a beloved. God wants you to know what it is to be under oppression, satanic manipulations. God wants you to know what it is to carry pain and to be sick. When you pray for somebody who is sick, you pray in a good way. Paul and Silas could pray the way they were praying because they were in chains, just like other prisoners. It was not a show. They needed to do it right. And when the victory came, it came for everybody. I pray that God will give you grace and give me grace, that many people will enter their first dimension because we've entered our third dimension. Stop being the Alpha and Omega of that family. People want a time they must ask you. And you reply at the time you feel like. You are the Alpha and the Omega in the family now. And we are grateful that you are, at least we have one light that is shining. But how bright can that light be to light all of us? No, you must have a higher desire. Father, I want everybody's light to shine in this family. I know you have blessed me and I'm grateful for it. But I desire everybody. You see, that's the reason why we sit around and we eat while our family members are going to hell. We are, you see, let me tell you something. It shows that we are not even born again ourselves. Because being born again gives you a proper understanding of what hell is. And you can never be at peace with a person sleeping next to you. You are calling him your boyfriend. You are claiming you are born again. And the person you are having sex with doesn't know Jesus. And it doesn't bother you. No. You yourself, you are not born again. It's very clear. Because only a prisoner can tell you about the prison. And he can be telling you why you shouldn't go there. Because he's been there, he's experienced it. We are lacking conviction because we ourselves are not convicted. That's why we sit in the house and your cousins are going to hell, your nephews are going to hell, everybody is just going to hell, and you are the only light that is shining. And you are okay with it. Everybody is bound in prisons. You are the only one that is walking around. So you find pleasure and come and say, oh, I hope the cell is not too... Are you okay? Are you coping? Okay, just hang in there, eh? Just hang in there. You are the only one who can move. Everybody else is bound. God told Abraham, through you, others will be blessed. Jesus told the disciples, unless the grain of kernel falls to the ground and dies, not much will come out of there. Do you know why many people in your family are not coming to church? You are not sacrificing much yet. Or shall I say, you are not sacrificing nothing? Do you know why there's no power in your ministry, in what you are doing? Your sacrifice is not to the level of the result you are trying to get. You want everybody's chain to break in your ministry, but you don't want to pray at midnight. You want everybody's chain to fall, every prison door to open in your ministry, but you don't want to thank God in the prison. Your attitude is still an attitude of complaining and asking God questions. They were praying and praising. Do you see what it takes to experience a generational breakthrough? A breakthrough that will... Jesus didn't go to the cross twice. Once, that's it. He broke every door. All those that were not even born the day he went to that prison, I wasn't there. 2,000 years later, the sacrifice is still speaking. The impact has remained the same. Do you know that if you could sacrifice properly on that ministry, sacrifice properly in that family, long after you are dead, the generations after you will still be enjoying the benefit of something you did one night? The same way we are enjoying the benefit of something Jesus did on the cross on that blessed Saturday, that blessed Friday. I hope God has ministered to somebody here tonight. When you go home tonight, I want you to look at your family members and look at all the things that are oppressing them. Some of you, even your partners, are oppressed. But we are not willing to sacrifice anything. You know what is going to happen? We're going to let Satan oppress them, oppress our children, oppress everybody. And we'll just be watching like somebody is watching a movie. Simply because we love ourselves so much, we don't want to sacrifice anything. We want to eat, we want to drink, we want to do everything. We don't want to do anything that is going to cost us anything so that the impact can be a little bit more. There's somebody watching me now. All you're asking God, you're just saying, Lord, give me a job. Give me a job. I'll be okay. If you can just give me a job. I just need a job. It shows you how far away you are from what I'm talking about, because it means the day you get that job, you say bye-bye forever. You will never see me again. What must happen to them? They must stay in the prison. They must stay in the prison. Many of you, the moment you get married, all the single people, you start avoiding them. They must stay in that prison. Yet you were in that prison before. You know what it means. You know how it feels. And you have never taken it upon yourself to help anybody. You have never sat with these young ones and said, you know what, God, I know how you feel. I felt that way. When my daughters get married here, they become queens. And even the way they move. Don't you know I'm married? When our sons get married, they become kings. And these are the small boys. They don't even sit where they sit. I'm telling you, I see those things. I see them. And some of you are only behaving now because you are not married yet. The day you get married, you also join that club. You join that club. They must remain prisoners. You have broken free. That is not the mind of God. The mind of God is, I will bless you. Number two, you will be a blessing. Number three, somebody must not only enjoy you being a blessing, somebody must now be blessed. Do you understand? He must also, he must become independent and free because of you. Because of you. When are you going to do it? When are you going to do it? May the Lord help us tonight. May the Lord help us tonight to see beyond ourselves. Look, if you can have a heart to see many people rise, it won't take long before God will bless you. And it won't take long before God will make you a blessing. And it certainly won't take long before God is going to turn you into a generational blessing. It won't take long. When God checks our hearts, so selfish, so self-centered. Me, myself, I just want it for me. And God says, no, you see, I cannot just bless you for you. So you will stay there. I want many people to be rich. And I want you to have such a heart. That's why I sent my son to die. Because I wanted to reach you. I couldn't reach you with gold and silver. It was plenty when he was there. It couldn't change you. I could only reach you through sacrifice. You want a great ministry? Be ready to sacrifice. You want a blessed marriage? Be ready to sacrifice. Anything you want of value, be ready to sacrifice. And you will have it. You will have it. Hallelujah. Stand on your feet, everybody, and begin to thank God for this message tonight. Ask him to help you. Ask him to help you. Ask him to help you. I'm sure you can pray. Ask God to help you tonight. Ask God to help you. By God's grace, through this conference, you shall become a reference yourself. God is helping you. God is helping you. God is helping you right now. God is helping you. God is helping you. Lord, make me a blessing. But Lord, I want to become a multi-dimensional blessing, a generational blessing. In other words, through me, generations will be blessed. Some people will never experience what I experienced simply because I pressed and I rose to a level that they don't have to go through those things I went through. Father, through my life, let people never see certain things. There are certain things nobody in my family should see just because I'm in the picture. They don't need to go through those things. It's not necessary. It delays some of the people from that, except things God wants to use to train the people. But things people are going through because I'm failing to take responsibility, those things must stop. Those things must stop. I must wake up tonight. I must wake up tonight and say, Lord, I want people to rise in this family. I want people. Jesus rose. The Bible says he ascended with captives. He descended to the lower part of the earth and he ascended with captives. In other words, he went down there and he pulled all of us out of there. He pulled all of us out of there. Why will you enjoy being on high and everybody around you are low? And it doesn't bother you. You are moving around with people, they can't pray, it doesn't bother you. They can't see God, it doesn't bother you. They are not growing, it doesn't bother you. You are just enjoying life. Everybody else can go to hell, you are saying. Lord, have mercy on us. Father, thank you tonight that grace is given to each one of us to tap into a higher dimension. A higher dimension where it's not just about me getting a job. My heart cry is everybody around me must be established. Everybody around me must have a beloved. Everybody around me must drive a car. Why must I be the only one driving a car? Am I Alpha and Omega? Lord, help me tonight. Help me to not break out of this mindset. It's a poverty mindset. It's a regressive mindset. It's a mindset that is not adding value to other people. People must always tiptoe around you. Must always tiptoe around you for everything. Do you know how life could be if we could all have a certain level of things? It would be great. It would be great. Father, I pray that you will shift us to those dimensions tonight. Help us rise in our minds. Help us become solutions. Solutions, Lord. Quickly tonight, if you are watching this service and you are saying, wow, Pastor, you know what? I want to buy into this. I really, really need to get my acts together. The first question is, do you know why Jesus died? He died because of you. He went in that cross and he went in that tomb because of you to take you out of that grave. Right where you are now, you are saying, Pastor, I want to accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Well, I want to give you that opportunity to make him the Lord of your life. At the count of three, you can raise your right hand and I'm going to pray with you. Please don't trivialize this moment. Very important. This is why Jesus came. So that your name can be written in the book of life. One, two, three. Please raise your right hand. God bless you. God bless you. Maybe you were invited to the service. Maybe you were invited in somebody's house and you are watching from somebody's house. Don't be ashamed. Just raise your hand and they will help you. And we'll pray together with you. You can take your hands down. Now, all of you that are connected and you know that, you know, look,
I want to come back to the Lord. I want to get my life together again. I never want to close the service without giving you an opportunity to recommit your life to Christ. That's why this ministry exists. We are alive to give life. Right where you are, saying, Pastor, I want to recommit my life to Jesus. I would like to pray with you. Please just raise your right hand. 1, 2, 3, please raise it up. God bless you. God bless you. Now I want us to pray. Please repeat these simple words from the bottom of your heart. Lord Jesus, I surrender my life to you today. Forgive me my sins. Wash me with your blood. I believe you died for me. On the third day you rose again, that I might be justified. Right now, I believe my sins are forgiven. I'm justified by your blood. I'm saved. I'm restored. I'm born again. I'm a child of God. I am free from the power of sin to serve the living God. Thank you, Jesus, for receiving me. Thank you, Jesus, for restoring me. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening. May God bless you. Please drop us a comment in the comment section to tell us how this message has helped you. Remember also to subscribe to receive notifications on our latest sermons. You can also watch Pastor Pascal live every Sunday morning from 10 a.m. on our church Facebook page, Alive Bible Church HQ. Or you can worship with us live in one of our branches in Sun City, Macharora, Padzima, Mukwase, Lidach, Rustenburg, and beyond. Have a blessed day, and remember, we are alive to give life.